I want to call the meeting back to order. The time is 11:50. Before we left and went on to break, Speaker Shaw, you had a question or two?
Thank you, Chair. I do have a couple of questions. So this is to establish a rental assistance program for elders, which I love. I think it's wonderful. But a question, because it's just for if you rent a house, rent an apartment, it doesn't apply to homeownership if you're having trouble making your house payment for whatever reason. So it's just for rental, not any homeownership, correct?
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's correct. So anyone with a mortgage for homeownership is going to have a fixed cost for 20 to 30 years, maybe 15 if they're paying down their mortgage very quickly. So their fixed costs are not going to increase. Their cost of home ownership is not going to increase. The only way that increases is if they escrow their taxes or their insurance, which we're not covering. We're covering the cost of housing. The only way a homeowner's payment would fluctuate is increased cost for taxes or increased cost for insurance. So the payment to be in their home is not going to fluctuate for a period of 30 years.
May I continue? Thank you so much. So the intent is that we're providing this benefit in the event that rent increases, just for a rental increase. Okay. Now, what about, and it is a temporary program, I see that. Nope, that answered my other question was about, does it have to be for rental only? So, okay, I understand. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Bots, go ahead.
If I can clarify, so it is for rental properties only, and it is temporary. So it will cover 12 consecutive months, up to 12 consecutive months, but 15 months over the life of the individual member, right? So essentially, the bill will... let's say there's an elder that has an increase in their rent. It will cover them for a year until they are able to find a new place to live, which is either below their cost or until they're able to increase income somehow. So it keeps them in their home for a year. It's not going to leave us where rents go up, you're out next month. You have a 30-day eviction notice because you can't make your rental payment. That's what this is preventing. It's not a long-term fix. It's a rental assistance program. With the 12 consecutive months and 15 months, just in case they move to a new location and then rents go up there, we need to have on our executive staff, we need to have somebody saying, you know, look, this is where you need to be looking. This is where you need to be identifying cost-saving measures in your expenses. We can only help for so long on this.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
What about our elders that may be moving into an assisted living facility? Would this apply to that as well?
I don't know. I would assume...
I think if this passes out, you definitely will have some elders that may ask that question when they make that transition from their home into an assisted living facility, because you still have to pay the rent. It goes up quite a bit from, at one point, Dad thought he wanted to go live in assisted living, you know, when he owned his own home, and we went and checked it out. We just made some calls. And it was very expensive, and we didn't think that he would enjoy those people as much as he enjoyed his children being there. But it was a huge difference in what he was paying. So I think we need to consider that.
Mr. Chair, I don't know that we. I'm happy to address it if you feel the need. I don't know that I would consider assisted living an actual rental unit. That's more of a service or. I mean, that's how I view it. If you feel that there's language that needs to be put in to clarify, I'm open to that language. But to me, a rental unit is a an apartment housing. It's not an assisted living center where you're being, you don't pay $3,000 a month for a housing unit. You pay $3,000 a month to be taken care of in an assisted living center. Those are not the same to me.
Speaker Shaw.
Thank you. So Congresswoman Whitehorn, I think that's a great question. And, you know, I'm thinking back to when my husband's grandparents were in. It was a progressive type thing where they were in assisted living, then went into the nursing home, but all within the same organization. So they just kind of moved around. And, you know, I get their assisted living fourplex that they lived in was just like living in an apartment. It was apartment living, basically. So I think that's a really good question and maybe something we could consider. I certainly understand the nursing home part not being included, but that's a really, really good question, because at the point that someone is in assisted living, for the most part, they can function on their own in their home. They just need, like it's called, a little bit of assistance. So I think that's a great question. And I know that that wasn't your original intent. Maybe it's something we can look at later. I mean, I personally hope that we come back in a year and it was successful and we include homeownership too, some, you know, in some way. So it's a really good question. I think it's something we should consider.
Congresswoman Rebard.
Yes, thank you. I do too, Speaker, and those are good questions. Another thing I wanted to bring up on the next bill, and the reason I'm bringing it up now is because it'll kind of tie in just to get your mind thinking. One thing that we do is when we create programs here, is there a way that you would be open to consider also admin costs being tied to this? Because whatever department they put this under, it's going to cause a new program to be established, and it's going to cause new work on the director and some employee, I promise, plus the time given. But I was wondering if we could also, besides just adding money to the direct service, but also give them some admin costs to operate. Even if it's just adding to a current salary or just some kind of admin cost. That I was just wondering if you would be open to that discussion. And also, because I do like the program and I want it to be successful. I see where you're going with that. I just wanted to know if you'd, you know, consider the effective date and the most certainly the admin cost.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So by changing it to October 1, it really kind of negates the need for ONCA 2569. They will present that in a budget, and your admin costs, I would assume, are going to be included in there. So absolutely open to that, but I think that conversation comes in October regardless. Let me continue to think about assisted living, but at this time I do have an amendment. Page 1, line 36, strike up to 70% and insert up to 80%.
Got a motion made. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Congressman Keene. Discussion. Seeing no discussion, all in favor say yes. All those opposed say no. Roll call,
somebody's
please.
Somebody's got to vote.
Clark, can we have a roll call?
Yes. Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Congresswoman Redcorn?
Yes.
Speaker Shaw?
No.
Vice Chair Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr.
It passes.
Chair.
Amendment passes. Do you have another amendment, Congressman Pott?
I do, Mr. Chair. Page 1, line 31.5, insert number 5, special consideration may be made for members of the Osage Nation under the age of 55 who also receive Social Security disability income.
Motion made, and we have a second. Discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Congresswoman Redcorn?
Yes.
Speaker Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hamilton?
Yes. You have any other amendments?
Not at this time, Mr. Chair.
Do we have any movement? Speaker Saul.
Motion to report ONCA 2568 as amended to Congress with the due pass recommendation.
Second.
We have a second by Congressman Keene. Discussion, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I still think some guidance needs to be given in this bill to either include or exclude the rental on assisted living facilities. I think that if it gets over to the executive and that question's still outstanding, that we don't need to send over things that are confusing. And to me, that's one of the first questions that I saw when I looked at it. So I know that you guys are voting on sending this out, but that's just my comment.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't disagree. I don't think the answer is going to be in the next 5 minutes. I'm happy to visit with legal counsel and see if a special carve-out needs to be made, and happy to make that as a floor amendment. I don't see those as rental units. I don't see that as pertaining to this bill. The cost of an assisted living is, there's so much more that goes into that than a rental unit, which is what we're talking about in this bill. I see your concern. I hear it. I don't know that it needs to be addressed, but I'm happy to address it if legal agrees and needs a special carve out there.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
I know we're talking about the motion to pass it out, but I think if that is a place that executive wanted to go with this program, there's also a place for that in policy. Rather than the bill, they can determine what a rental facility looks like. But the other thing to consider about that is generally when you enter into assisted living, you're signing a contract, you're not renting, because you're signing a contract for services. And then you're then going to pay for those services, and your apartment tends to be part of that service. And then generally there's also a giant deposit to enter into one of those also. But there's a place for that in policy, if that's how the executive branch would choose to go with this. I'll just leave it at that.
Seeing no more discussion, we have a motion on the floor. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes. Going to the floor of Congress as a due pass recommendation as amended. Next item is ONCA 2569, an act to authorize and appropriate the amount of $500,000 to the executive branch for the rental assistance program and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Potts, you are the sponsor and you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Pursuant to the previous discussions, this bill would have provided funding effective now for this program. However, since we've changed the alternate effective date to October 1, on 2568, which deals with the rental assistance program, I don't see the need for this bill at this time. We can appropriate these funds and admin costs in October. So at this time, I'd make a motion to postpone ONCA 2569 to the call of the chair.
We got a motion made. Do we have a second?
Second.
We got a second by Congressman Keene. Discussion?
I have a discussion, and I just appreciate Congressman Potts doing this with this bill, because I really think in the meantime, we could probably get a better cost analysis, and maybe, you know, with Jordan reaching out to those directors to say, help me come up with a good cost for the admin piece. But thank you for, you know, allowing us to address the effective date so we can get a better number. And also thank you for looking at the census. And if there's data that we need to add to the next census, I think this would be a good place to start. Thank you.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say yes.
Yes.
Motion passes. Next item is the ONCA 2571, an act to amend the Treasury Law at 15 ONC Section 2304. To require the principal chief to appoint a treasurer with 120 days and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Potts, you're the sponsor and you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, ONCA 2571 and 72 work relatively hand in hand. What we're trying to achieve here is ending an extended or prolonged vacancy within these two offices, either Treasury or Attorney General, but also requiring that these individuals be reappointed so that the Congress can exercise its authority for advice and consent. I have made an agreement with another member of Congress that maybe 120 days is too soon. What I would like to do is offer an amendment at page 1, line 38 and 39, strike 120 days and insert 180 days.
We got a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Congressman Keene. Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what this would do is just extend that time from 120 to 180 days. Pretty self-explanatory. The meat of the bill, per se, will remain the same, but extending that period of time.
Any more discussion for the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say yes.
Yes.
Motion passes. Congressman Potts, do you have any more amendments?
I do not at this time.
Okay, do we have any questions to the sponsor? Okay, if there's no questions or discussion, Chair would entertain
movement. Mr. Chair, I do have some discussion, if I may.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Congresswoman Rivard has a bill pertaining to 15ONC-2305 that would prohibit unqualified or unappointed individuals from serving in this term. I'm open to amending that language into this bill. I don't know that we need that language in this bill, because what my bill does is essentially gives him 6 months to say you have to appoint an individual, and that individual is going to have to meet the qualifications that are already in law. So Congresswoman Rivard, we're talking about your bill in 2556. Your bill requires the qualified individual to serve. What my bill does is require an appointment within 6 months. That individual that is appointed within the 6 months will meet the qualifications as outlined in law. So I'm happy to amend in your language for acting treasurer, but I don't see the need for that, because I would hope that we would never have an acting treasurer for more than 6 months again, but said that last time. So I'm happy to amend that in. But the idea, the principle is, if there's a vacancy, you have 6 months to appoint. And also, when the term expires, so at a term of 4 years, that individual must be reappointed for consideration by this Congress. An individual cannot just continue to serve on in like a, as a good old Baptist would say, once saved, always saved. You, once confirmed, always confirmed is not going to be a thing. We need to have consent and advice and consent in that process, and that's what I think this bill does.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, thank you, Congressman Potts. And I, you know, my intent, like I said, is change. And I know some of you are like, well, it's implied. But I just really want to make sure that whoever is put in that position, whether they're acting or interim, that they have to follow Osage law. And that's my main concern. And that, you know, I hate to say that we have to put that in law, but I just feel like that would be the verbiage, and I don't know what that looks like, and I appreciate you being open to add language, but if this Congress feels like it's strongly implied, then I'm okay with that.
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Whitehorn, and then Congressman Potts.
So there's not a committee set. This is the original filing of 2571. Is that what we're looking at right now, correct?
Yes.
In section B, why does it reference the Attorney General?
Congressman Potts, directed towards you.
Mr. Chair, that'd be because Trey made a typo. I'd like a motion for a brief recess to address that concern. Thank
motion,
you.
Motion for a recess. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to withdraw my motion.
We have a motion to recess for lunch.
Would you like 45 minutes for lunch? Make a motion for a brief recess. To the call of the chair.
We're in a motion to recess to call the chair. Do we have a second? All in favor say yes. All right, we're in recess.